Mundus podcast.
But when it comes to Doctor Who fans, they just want to squabble amongst each other. I've never figured it out.
Well, someone was posting on Twitter the other day and they were saying, like, I don't understand why Doctor Who fans are so ungrateful and all that sort of thing. And I totally understand, because when I got into Doctor Who, it was obviously I went straight into hiatus like in the 90s, and it was awful time. So now they're offering 7 episodes or 8 or whatever. I'll take it, do you know what I mean? I'm not going to whinge about it. But I think people have been spoiled by Russell T. Davies era banging out 13, 14 episodes a year. And we're very lucky, weren't we, at the end of the day?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know? And I think now it's like, oh, it's not right. We're getting 7 episodes. You know, and you just think, God, a Christmas special. If someone said Doctor Who would have had a Christmas special, I would have been like, wow, we're so lucky. It's just bizarre how... you're right, because I think there's so many different factions. Like the Daleks, you know, in terms of Doctor Who people. It's like, you know, you got the Renegades and, you know... But it's weird, because I think a lot of people really love Russell T Davies' era, and a lot of people really like Moffat's era. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said that they don't watch Doctor Who now. They're a massive fan of Doctor Who, but they just don't watch it. They might watch the anniversary. They're not sure. They've just gone off it.
That's peculiar.
And I said, do you not find it weird? It's almost like it's like an addiction, isn't it? Coming off it, sort of thing. And he said, it's quite difficult, but, you know, he's just lost the love for the show now. So
I think it's bizarre, because I think, I mean, obviously, I've been watching Doctor Who since the 70s. Hmm. So when it sort of got to Colin Baker McCoy's era, I'd started, you know, not watching it anymore. I sort of drifted in and out of it. I wasn't like the massive fan that I once was. And I don't know, it's because I just sort of grew up, really. I wasn't, you know, I just sort of found just other things to do. I think, you know, I was in my late teens then. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think that's different now. You see, if you were in your late teens, now you would watch an iPlayer the next day if you went out on a Saturday night. You know,
exactly. You didn't have the option then, unless you remember to record it on your video, your Ferguson video style, whatever the hell you had back then. But yeah, but I just seem to sort of like, yeah, Doctor, I'm not bothered about it anymore. But then I sort of like towards the tail end of when McCoy's last season, I started watching again, and I thought, this is really good. But it was stuff like Ghostlight and Survival, and I thought Ghostlight, I mean, a casual viewer, which I sort of become by then, I thought, I haven't got a clue what's going on anymore. This is really for the hardcore fans, and I think that's the problem. I think that the old school fans want that all the time out of new Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and if you did that if you did that every week, nobody would watch it.
That's true. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to appease both sides of fandom, but you know, it's nice to have little nods here and there and stuff, and not everyone's going to go, ooh, chessboard, ooh, Fenric. You know, people just go, oh, that's a chessboard. Ooh, it's quite an interesting sort of thing, a device, you know.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm glad that they made little nods, but I know that they can't go full on with stuff, but, you know, Russell T Davies went completely to appease the casual fan, and he made it very soap-like. And people love that sort of thing. And look at the viewing figures. I mean, yes, viewing figures have gone down the last few years for television generally. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you know, the ratings are a lot lower now because it's not as soap-like and kind of, I don't know, more for everyone. It's much more kind of, I think it's still for everyone to a certain extent, but it is a bit geeky now, I think, under the Moffat era. You know,
than RTD, definitely. Yeah,
you need to actually know what you know. You're talking about Ghostlight there. If someone was to dip into, I'm trying to think of an episode for example, but say Crimson Horror, that would be fine, I think, because it was quite accessible. That was fine. But something that had a bit more of an arc in, you would just be stumped. You know, like when Amy Pond issued a ganger or not and stuff like that in the other series. You would be
oh,
like,
God, yeah.
What? Who's that? And that's the problem, you see. Someone that I was going out with a couple of years ago said, I don't watch it now because there's no way I can just... I looked in Heat magazine and they said, this is one of them confusing episodes that the casual viewer can't get into, so I'm not going to bother. And Heat had said, oh, you can't really get into Doctor Who now like that. And that's obviously the casual fan reads stuff like Heat, Radio Times and whatnot, you know. And that's, you know, ways if you'd said, like, Age of Steel or something like that, you could get an Age of Steel and there's access point there, isn't it? Easy.
Yeah, that's it. I think that was the trick to bringing it back in 2005. You had to appeal to a broader audience, and it was, you know, they got it bang on the money, to be honest. It wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but that's what modern audiences want now. And I must admit, you know, I'm on my own podcast, I'm fairly critical. But that's what podcasts are supposed to be. You're reviewing an episode, reviewing a story, so you say what you do like, what you don't like. But some people just made their minds up before they've even watched it, which I don't understand.
Sometimes they think it's going to be good, and they will just think it's Neil Gaiman, it's going to be good. It is good. Or they go as Chris Chibnall or something like that, you know, and it's crap, you know. And I think you've just got to be... I mean, I love listening to Radio Free Scorer because invariably their views kind of sink, but sometimes one of them will, you know, go, no, I don't like that. And they're honest about it, but if they like something, they're gushing about it, and that's what's nice to be a fan about, you know, if you really enjoy something. I mean, this series, I think there's been a lot of sort of episodes where I've enjoyed it, but I'll never say that's my favourite episode ever. But I've got no excuses for Rings. I don't know what that was about. I don't know if it was conceived on some sort of illegal high or something. I don't
know. I didn't like the Bells at St John.
Right, I quite enjoyed that, but I wouldn't say it's got rewatch value, but I enjoyed it as a ride.
Yeah. You know? I didn't like it for the point of view because I thought it was far too similar to The Idiot's Lantern.
Hmm.
I thought that it was way too similar. And some, a fan, had put together screenshots from both episodes and it was more or less identical.
And so Idiot's Lantern wasn't exactly a classic either.
No, it wasn't. No, it certainly wasn't. So that's the reason why I didn't like it. I just thought it was far too similar to what had gone on before. But then you went to that Rings of Ackerton, which was, oh, I don't know, it was the complete opposite. Doctor had never done anything like it before, and it was all to do, basically, religion, you know, which Doctor's always sort of steered away from, and faith and everything. But the fans just went for the jugular with that one.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I recorded and watched it when I got back from a night out. And you know, I wasn't, like, drunk or anything, you know, when I was watching it. And I actually forwarded and started pressing forward. And I never do that on Doctor Who.
No. She
was going, oh, God, the girl, I'm not interested. It's probably Alan Jones's daughter, by the way.
It is, yes, it is.
Yeah. I was like, that's such an obscure fact. But but I was like, oh, for God's sake, I'm not interested in it. And then I was like, oh, God. And I think as well this series as well, the sonic screwdriver is getting used to overkill. And we need another visitation, you know. We need to get rid of it, I think.
Stuff like what they did in the visitation, that was a bold move because that was the... I mean, like it is now, it's the Doctor's get-out-of-jail-free card. And they took that away, so it was back to the Doctor relying on his wits and his intelligence again. To me, that's what the Doctor's all about. But maybe now, because you've got that, I don't know, a 45-minute format, you need that get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, you need to speed things along now, don't you? You haven't got, like, 4 or 6 episodes like you had in the old days to stretch a story out, and maybe... pad it out a bit too much.
I think people are overtly critical, whereas in the past people would go, oh, right, I enjoyed that, and they didn't have an instant outlet to go on Twitter and stuff and say, oh, I hated this, blah, blah. And I think sometimes people probably just need to have a little bit of a think first before they start putting stuff. I mean, I've seen people post some stuff like, F off Moffat, we want the show back. You've made this worse, blah, blah, you know, and really slagging them off and stuff like that, and they don't like them, and I just think, Can you imagine, like, you jacked your job in tomorrow and became the showrunner on Doctor Who? You would stress to hell, wouldn't you? You know, you
exactly.
You wouldn't be able to cope.
They'd be shivering in the corner within 5 minutes, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and he does Sherlock as well. And yeah. You think, bloody hell, how does your mind work? You know, and I think people have that's one of the big fan things. The moment is about Sherlock. Should he be dividing his time between the two? You know, and I think
They've got this thing about no, he must devote all his time to Doctor Who. But then you've got the Sherlock fans to say no, he must devote all his time to Sherlock.
I know.
You know, so, but, I mean, I don't care. I mean, if it means he can continue to keep churning out both shows, fine, because I'm a fan of both.
I mean, Series 8 has been confirmed, but even now, I'm not overtly critical about stuff, but I found the thought of it might be next autumn, the next series. I was a bit, long time away, isn't
it? It's a long time, but then again, I don't mind because I grew up watching Doctor Who in the autumn and winter, so I really don't mind it being on at that time. To me now, I mean, my early 40s, but now it does seem really peculiar to watch Doctor Who in sort of daylight.
Well, it's not good for ratings either. I don't think it's good, especially when there's a lot of kind of horror-tinged episodes as well.
Yeah.
If it's all sunny outside and people are playing football and stuff outside, it takes away the scared element. And we had it briefly last year, but I still think it was far too early. It was about September, wasn't it, started?
Yeah, that's right, wasn't it? Yeah. Sort of first weekend or second weekend of September. So you're not really, or you're still practicing sort of summer, really, aren't you?
I also think as well, there's always going to be someone who is going to find fault with anything that happens in Doctor Who, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with Star Trek and Star Wars and whatnot. You know, if someone said, oh, that was in an obscure audio or it was in a comic book and they used it there, and there's always going to be someone who has to find fault with stuff.
And again, I'm not aware of any other sort of sci-fi fandom doing this. It's the wild theories.
Oh, there's a lot of... I mean, on the Doctor Who podcast, they do a jokey thing called a cookie theory of the week.
That's right,
and some of the theories are not that far away, but some people's things are like... that people are annoyed now about the anniversary special and they've not seen any footage of it.
Yeah.
You think, how? How are you? Well, they're not doing any of this and they're doing any... Well, have you seen it? No, well... Don't go on about it. No.
Well, it's that thing. Is what Stephen Moffat said at the BAFTAs when he was interviewed on the red carpet. He did a very sort of short sort of 5 minute interview, and he said that yeah, people have seen what's been filmed outside. They've seen all the location footage. They've seen, you know, the Zygon, and they've seen David Tennant and his TARDIS, and they've seen that stuff in Trafalgar Square. But he said they haven't seen what's been filmed inside, and he wasn't going to confirm or deny anything. No. At that point, you know, he basically said, you know, watch the episode to find out. Bang on, because, you know, why? I don't know how they can sort of like, so well, this isn't going to happen, that's not going to happen. I know it's been like things like, you know, Doctor Who magazine have confirmed that there'll be no classic Doctors in the 50th anniversary, but I'm sort of taking that to mean that probably they've been that no, the actors, as they are now, won't be in the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Because they're just too old.
But the thing is, as well, he does lie, Stephen Moffat.
He does lie.
You know,
he does lie. But
thing I was going to ask you is, it was just the element of mystery is obviously gone out of TV, especially Doctor Who, with the internet, hasn't it? You know, spoilers.
Oh, God, I mean, you can't have the sort of like stories like Earthshock.
No, God, no, you can never have, you know, hey, Adric's dead. You could never have that moment.
Well, it was the fact, Cybermen. You know, they kept it a complete secret.
That must have been amazing.
It was amazing. To watch that at the time, as I did, it was amazing. I was just sort of like, my jaw hit the floor. The Cybermen are back, and they look fantastic. I know now people do take the piss out of the fact they're wearing, like, cricket gloves and moon boots and whatever. But back then, it was like, the Cybermen are back, and we knew nothing about it. It was a genuine surprise. And I think because of the internet now, everybody wants information instantly. They can't wait for the next series. They must know what's going to happen in each and every episode. I just said, well, why do you want it spoiled? Can't you just wait, you know, till the series starts, or wait till the following Saturday when the next episode's on? What's wrong with waiting, you know?
Yeah, I don't need to see a grainy picture of David Tennant on set, you know?
No.
Like, and people are obsessed with taking pictures and like saying, oh, I've seen this. And I mean, no, everyone enjoys a little bit of like the mystery element. I mean, I remember when I think it was Sophia Miles was saying was hinting she might be the new companion about a year and a half ago. Things like that are quirky, you know, and I think Moffat loves doing stuff like that, but I think these days people make it much... I mean, Steve Moffat, I'm not sure at the moment, I could be wrong with this, but he did go off Twitter. I don't know if he's on now.
I think he's still off, actually.
He's still off.
Yeah.
That's the problem, you see, because people have got that open access to basically just throw shit at them.
Yeah.
And it's
funny you say it. I haven't been to many sort of Doctor Who conventions or events or anything, but the two I have been to, I went to the official convention in Cardiff last year.
Yeah.
And I recently went to the BFI to see Case of Androzani.
Yeah.
Okay, so... and I don't know what it is at these events. It's full of, like, fans of the show. They're there to just see, you know, the actors and listen to the Q&A and the audience gets to ask questions at the BFI. And they also did that at the Cardiff one as well. But there's always one person there who's got to ask a question and have a dig at somebody sitting on stage.
Right.
They can't just be, like, not ask a nice question or something like that. I mean, the one that... the one in Cardiff, the microphone gets passed around and... This, I think it was a teenager, basically said, is it my question for Stephen Moffat? Why do you keep relying on the same old monsters such as the Weeping Angels all the time? Why can't you come up with anything new, right? And there was a big, sharp intake of breath from the audience, but you could see Stephen Moffat start to bristle a little bit, right? And he quite rightly slapped this little nerd down, basically saying, well, to be quite honest, I've only used the Weeping Angels once, really, so... In this since Matt Smith took over. So I don't really know where you're coming from. He said, we've got loads of new monsters, which you've seen, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, and again, it's that thing of, think about what you're going to say. It's all that this is, they just want to get up and make a, I don't know whether they make a name for themselves or think, I've got a question that's going to catch Mr. Moffat out because I don't like what he's doing. But you think this guy's at the top of his game. You're not going to catch him out. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's got it all planned out. Asking him a silly little question like that, it's just not going to do anything, is it? And he made himself look an idiot.
Mondes. I think the internet and especially Twitter and stuff gives people a false sense of importance.
It does.
Yeah. And
it does.
Who are you to say anything? Do you know what I mean? It's I don't get it. I mean when I've done comedy in the past, You put stuff on YouTube and stuff, and we were doing quite well at the time and stuff in the group I was in, and you would get people kind of saying, yeah, I really like that, blah, blah, and then you would get like a few kind of weirdos and stuff who would start the followings of this one person, and they were talking about how much they loved our sketch, and they were the whilst eating dry pasta. I was just like, okay. You know, so you get people who are like devotees like that who are a bit weird, and then you get some the odd one who just slags them off. Yeah, what the third one's not really that funny, or the tall ones, and you just think, yeah, I understand. I mean, I disable comments on YouTube now, and that's it's almost like if I was on Twitter and I was Moffat, I would just disable. I would just be like, well, I don't need. Some jumped up 14-year-old saying, oh, the Weeping Angels are overused. I'll be like, well, do you want to do the job?
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're quite welcome to do it. You know, yeah. Give it a go, mate. See how you get on, you know. But the BFI one, there was quite a few sort of people. Obviously, you had like Peter Davison, Janet Fielding, Matthew Waterhouse, Sarah Sutton and Graham Harper were there as the main panel.
Hmm.
And then you had like Roger Limb, the composer for the music and everything. But then you also had Mark Gatiss was there as well.
Yeah.
And Stephen Moffat was there with his son. So when it got to the Q&A after they showed Androzani, this guy got the audience and said, well, that's the, talking about Androzani, he said, well, that's the best episode of Doctor Who, or the best story of Doctor Who I've seen in many a Saturday. Right. And again, sharp intake of breath from the audience. And then he went, sorry, Mark, to directed to Mark Gatiss. And I don't think he realised Moffat was also in, because Moffat, we were sitting in the fourth row and Moffat walked straight, straight in front of us.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, again, why did you feel the need to say that? You know, you're there to ask a question to the people on the stage, not to have a dig at the showrunners sitting in the audience.
No, I've obviously been a fan since 1988, and I love the show. I've watched it so many times. But I'm never going to write the show. I'm never going to, you know, and you're lucky if you do. And they're obviously, you know, Mark Gatiss knows he's lucky. He's a fan and he's living the dream.
Yeah.
But if you're on the same sort of level as people, you can have these conversations and say, actually, I thought the flow wasn't very good and I thought the ending was a bit of a cop-out. But, you know, I just think sometimes people are just quite nasty. That's all it comes down to, isn't it, really?
I think it is, really. You know, it's... I think it's that, you know, I think Doctor Who fans really split into three camps. You've got, like, the classic era fans who were, like, nothing but the classic era.
Hmm.
And you've got the fans that sort of bridge the two. And then you've got the new series fans. And that's it. And that, I think that's why you've got this sort of arguments going on all the time. And I'm surprised none of us have actually mentioned this yet, Gallifrey Base.
Yes, I did actually think of going to mention that to you. But yeah, I used to go on, I think, round when it first started coming back in about 05 and stuff. And, and I used to just have a look around and I would occasionally comment on something, blah, blah. But it would just be kind of just, oh yeah, I really enjoy that, blah, blah. But I do hear of some really like nasty stuff going on there. Do you dabble in it at all?
I do sort of look. So I do advertise the podcast on there, but that's it. That's all I do. But even then, I've had, even with that thread, all I do is just chuck up what's in each episode each week. That's it. I don't do anything else. I don't sort of take part in any other threads. I just sort of read other threads, and I just sort of, I'm staying well away from that, you know. So it's even what you were saying, you've got weird comments on YouTube. I've had some downright nasty stuff.
Said about, it's faceless, isn't it? Do you not think it's faceless? Yeah.
It is, yeah. I thought, you're very big and brave. And again, come and say that to me face. Because you won't say it because, as I say, well, you said, it's faceless.
Mm.
You're very brave sitting at your keyboard and you can throw out your mad theories and slag off showrunners and podcasts and other, you know, other forum members, etc., etc. But it's the fact they're so sure of their opinion as well. They're so sure they're right. And that's the amazing thing about it. It's always like they've convinced themselves that their theory is right, or that they convince themselves that, you know, Moffat's wrong for the job and, you know, I should be doing this if I was writing Doctor Who. And I just never come... I don't know of any Star Trek fans or Star Wars fans who would do that.
Have you ever retorted to them? Have you ever kind of replied, just went, you know, got angry back?
Well, I do sort of do the, well, if you don't like it, don't listen. Mm. It's just the fact why if you really, really, really don't like something, A, why watch it or listen to it? And then why feel the need to make a comment on it to the person who's producing that TV show or radio show or podcast or whatever? Why do you feel the need to do that? I mean, if there's something I don't like, I just go, well, I won't watch it. I don't feel the need to, you know, lurk on... I don't know. I mean, I can't stand things like X Factor or Britain's Got Talent. You know, I hate talent shows.
Yeah.
And there must be sites and forums dedicated to that. But there's no way I'm going to waste my time becoming a forum member and then start slacking it off. I've got better things to do with my life.
I think it's indicative of the internet generally. I think Doctor Who fans are quite full on and all, but I've posted stuff on forums before and people just went, don't like that, that's just amateurish, that just reminds me of something, blah, blah, and then you get someone else going, yeah, but it's not very good, and you just think, all right then, just me, and it does put people off, or makes them react, and if you react, it just goes on and on, doesn't it?
I mean, you start with an innocent comment, and before you know it, the thread's been going on a year. You know, and everybody's, you know, chipped in a little bit, and it just gets ridiculous. It gets absolutely ridiculous.
It's not about that, doing a podcast. It's not about getting into bitchy little arguments with people on forums, you know.
No, that's right.
Come on, Des.
But what I was also going to say as well, back in the day as well, I obviously wasn't around at the time, but when I've since read up and all that, GNT got a lot of shit from fandom as well, pre-internet, obviously, and stuff.
Oh, Christ, so, yeah.
You know, it's obviously got a new sort of vehicle now, But it was always there, wasn't it? I can do that job better than you, sort of thing.
Well, it was that that famous clip from Right to Reply. I think it was that prank called Right to Reply.
Hmm.
Something like that. I don't know if it's called Right to Reply. Basically, you see, it's that clip of Chris Chibnall as a teenager, and he's taking Pip and Jane Baker to task over the quality of Doctor Who scripts. Right. And now, he's not exactly Doctor Who fans' favourite script writer, is he?
No.
I think he should be made to watch that clip over and over again.
I didn't know of this existence. I'll have to try and find it because it's...
Yeah, I can't remember what the... It's that if you just go on YouTube and just search Chris Chibnall and Pippa Joan Baker, I think it will come up there. But I can't remember the name. It was one of those daytime TV shows.
Right.
And I think that the topic of the day was Doctor Who. And I think it was getting, as usual, getting a bit of a kicking in the ratings and the critics were having a go at the quality of the stories. And there's a very, very young Chris Chibnall having a go at Pip and Jane Baker. So I think he should be made to watch that. And sort of, remember what you said, Chris.
Because, I mean, you know, that's kicking someone who's really down. I mean, no one likes them too. Pip and Jane Baker, it's like, there's no one going to go, God, are they at the convention? I can't wait to get the autograph. It's never going to happen. Do you know
it's
what I mean?
It's a room full of people. So I had another thing, you know, so having a go at them. But I do feel a bit, because they're quite old now, I do feel quite sorry for them.
No, they did some travesties with the Ronnies and whatnot.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, but obviously he got a lot of shit and he didn't want to be showrunner for a long time that he was there. He was obviously trying to get out from about...
Yeah, they basically held him to ransom, didn't they, more or less?
Having to go at him and stuff like that. And you just think, God, you know, it's like... I mean, even now, some people who were very prominent around there, like... is it Ian Levine and people like that and stuff, and are all still kind of like quite prominent people and stuff, and you just think... God, you know, like, if it's not that easy to run a show, and it's still over the length of this time, people still think they can do better.
Well, you know, I'm sort of a bit of a quandary about Ian Levine, because he has done a lot of good for Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has sort of tracked down quite a few missing episodes, and he's contributed a lot to, you know, the DVD releases, and with, like, archive footage and stuff like that. But then, on the other hand, I think he still feels quite bitter about the fact that he's not consulted anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this whole thing, and he's very, very vocal about, you know, the splitting of the seasons that you get now. And he keeps, eight episodes is far too short a season. It's in its 50th anniversary year. You know, Stephen Moffat promises wall-to-wall Doctor Who. We're not getting that. Well, we are, but it's just not all on the BBC. Because you've got the things like the BFI events. You've got other little shows, like, you know, like the Peter Cushing films with the Blu-ray releases. They're getting special showings around the country, you know. And there's other little things. You've got the, you know, the stamps, and you've got the convention coming up in November, the London XL. Hmm. So there are things going on. It's just the fact it's just not on the television. And we mentioned this the other week on the podcast that if I think what these sort of people want, they want, because it's the 5th anniversary, they want every single surviving episode of Doctor Who to be shown daily, leading right up until the 5th anniversary. But the thing is, people will start watching it, and it'll be, oh, well, I haven't really got time to watch it today, so... And then they'll stop watching themselves. So the whole argument that this doesn't sort of really sort of hold up. Just be grateful we have got 8 episodes of Doctor Who this half of the year. Because it could be nothing, couldn't it, really?
Oh, completely. I mean, you know, I always worry that the show's going to get cancelled at the end of the day. You know,
yeah.
That's the mindset that you've become in with being a Doctor Who fan.
Mm.
You know, so we're just lucky to have it. But the final point I was going to ask you as well, do you think there's going to come a point where people kind of stop being as kind of arsey about Doctor Who and stuff and realise this, or do you think it's just not getting necessarily get worse, but do you think people actually, you know, like started like running, coming into conventions and saying, it's shit, boo, you know, I, you know, down with this sort of thing, like Father Ted.
Careful now.
So do you think it's going to be more positive in the future, or do you think it's just going to be more whingy and stuff?
I think it's going to get more whingy.
Hmm.
I really do, because people are just clamoring for more and more content. And now you've got, like, what they call the prequels for the odd, you know, the odd episode, with really prologues, but let's not get into that argument. But so there's more content, and you get all the little teaser trailers being released online and sort of photographs and stuff. So there's more and more things being released, but the more you release, the more people are going to moan about it. And it's going to happen. You can't odds it. So I think it will get worse, because I think it's just going to be a case of, you know, it's going to be more and more content's going to be released. And it just gives more people more things to whinge about.
Yeah, you can't win, basically, doing a show like Doctor Who. You know, it's like people want more things and all that. And then when they get it, they're kind of like, oh, it's not on enough. It's not this. It's in 3D. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, it's like, is it going to be like Dimensions in Time again?
No, nothing could be like Dimensions in Time. Nothing.
it's something that you're watching. It just makes everything like come back. How great a lot of other shows are and stuff that in Doctor Who canon. You know, you just think, God, this is bad. This is the law. You know.
Yeah.
Especially when I read up about like the Dark Dimension, and because at the time I never knew anything about this Dark Dimension that was apparently muted, but that would have been fantastic. And then we got that, and it was like, oh yeah. God, you know, it's like. But it would be nice if some of the fans kind of wishes were met, like McGann got his own Time War series and all this palaver. But it's not going to happen. So, no. You know, if you want to make it and ask McGann on Twitter if he fancies he's up for it and will finance it, do your thing, great. But the BBC aren't ever going to do that.
No, they're not.
So,
they're not.
You know.
And if if you want Classic Who with the Classic Who actors, you've got Big Finish.
Exactly. You know, and you know. We're talking about a spin-off series as well with the, you know, the air of Madame Bastra and all that. That's not going to happen these days, because we've gone past the point of having Torchwood and Confidential. We're lucky at that time. We had a lot of... But the money's being cut now.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can tell that the budget's being cut and stuff. And having stuff like that, which weren't necessities, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It was nice at the time, wasn't it? We were pretty much sort of spoiled back then. And I must say, I wasn't Torchwood's biggest fan, to be honest. But I mean, I love things like Children of Earth.
Yeah.
Series 1 and 2 were very hit and miss. Miracle Day, I thought, was awful. I really
didn't
did.
Know,
I thought
it didn't know what it was, did it?
It didn't. It really didn't. It was so disjointed. But you know, hey, we were lucky to have it. I still watched it each week.
Yeah.
There's always something to enjoy. I think for me, that's the fantastic thing about Doctor Who. It might be a bad episode. You might not have enjoyed it on the whole, but there's always something in there to say, yeah, I did like that. And it keeps you coming back. It does for me, anyway.
Oh, completely. I mean, if you don't want to watch New Who, you can go and watch your DVDs. You know, you don't have to whinge about it online and stuff like that. You can just enjoy it. But you take for granted. But you know, there's a time where Doctor Who would have an anniversary and they'll get the old Doctors out and put them on the front. That was the closest I've ever got to the front cover. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. I think sometimes people need a reality check, I think.
They do. I think the other thing as well, I think a lot of the older Doctor Who fans do look back at the classic, which is now, termed the classic series, with sort of rose-tinted specs, because there was an awful lot of shit there as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, there was some absolute classic episodes that everyone can talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always going to be Time in the Rani or Time Lash. There's two for time in there for no problem. But, yeah, there's always...
Twin Dilemma. I mean, come on, you know.
Let's not pick on Colin Baker, but but even like John Pertwee, I love Pertwee, obviously you do as well, but the Peladon, two Peladon stories, they were ropey, you know, and if they had them now, you'd be like...
The first one was good, but the second one, you got the blokes with the badger hairdos, didn't you? So,
yes. You know, the Ice Warriors wouldn't have come out of it that well, you know, and if you'd seen them just in that, you know, so there's always stuff, there's always crap, but you are selective in your nostalgia at the end of the day, aren't you? You know?
Exactly, it's sort of like you tend to forget the rubbish and you just concentrate on all the good stuff.
I mean, so, you know, it's looking back at Eccleston and Tennant and stuff now, there's some cracking episodes. And yes, there's some, you know, everyone can paraphrase, oh yeah, Fear Her, Love and Monsters were shit. But there's also a human nature, or Blink, or, you know, there's loads of things.
Possible Planet and stuff like that. Yeah,
it's, brilliant, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I don't mind Love and Monsters that much, to be honest. I don't suppose you could really call it a Doctor Who story. It got ridiculous when you saw Peter Kay running down the street in that big fat costume. But I thought, leading up to it, it wasn't too bad. I thought at the end of the day, it was actually quite a sweet story. But as it went until Peter Kay turned up, this one, as Peter Kay often does for me, he ruins things. So,
well, I love Mark Warren as well. When Mark Warren was announced to be in, I thought, brilliant. You know, he's such a funny guy. You know? And I just something that just doesn't quite click with me about Love and Monsters. And but it's that sort of thing of, like, I mean, they talk about it on Reader Free Score. The season finales and stuff like that, you know, at the end of time and stuff like that. When you look back at them now, there were people pan them now and stuff, you know, because they were excessive, and they were like, everyone's coming back. And, you know, and Tennant was kind of whinging on and stuff, like, oh, I don't want to go, you know. And but at the end of the day, they were enjoyable and stuff like that. But there's always going to be something to criticise, you know, any TV programme that you watch, you know, there's always going to be something you go, that's a bit shit because of that, you know. It's like,
Mondes.
But as we start this conversation with, there isn't anything else. Like, I was talking to Chris from the Doctor Who Spoilers last week on the podcast. He was saying about, like, you wouldn't get Gallifrey Base for any other show, and it's true.
It is true.
Like, you know, you would never get, like, Casualty or EastEnders or something, or Waterloo Road, you know, Forum, like, annoyed by the episode this week and stuff.
Yeah,
it's so true.
But I think on the other side of things, though, I mean, we sort of focus on the negative fans, but that is sort of really quite a small minority out of all the millions of fans.
Sure.
And I must admit, most of the fans I've met have been fantastic. You know, they're lovely people, that they love the show. Okay, I said they're critical of certain aspects of it, or they don't like certain episodes, but they're never out and out. It's this out and out hatred that some people have, but they still watch it. It's like some sort of sadomasochism.
Yeah, they want their voice heard, and they want to kind of, like, they want to antagonise people. Whereas you've got, like, when I was at a convention the other week, you got people dressed as Jenny and Madame Vastra, you got children dressed up, you got adults, and people are really excited and celebrating the Who, and they're excited for it, you know.
Yeah.
And they're the average person who watches Doctor Who, but you don't really hear about them. It's only the dicks who kind of
start
to
show off. And yeah, stuff. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, they're the ones who are kind of like, you know, they're the ones who fuel the Sun's thing, and Doctor Who's gone off the boil, ratings shock and all. They're the people who fuel them sort of things, because the Sun will go on these sort of forums and go, well, we've seen someone slagging it off saying it's the worst episode ever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's always that an insider says. You know, it's always an insider. Never actually name their sources, it's just insider. But half of these things, they just get, as you said, they just get them off a Gallifrey Base. Or probably, Digital Spy or something like that. Well, there was that one with... Do you remember the, when it got to Stolen Earth and Journey's End? There's this whole thing about... because the new Penelope Wilton was coming back. And they said, oh, yeah, it's... Penelope Wilton's revealed to be the Red Dalek, who's angry at the Doctor for ousting her as Prime Minister in the Christmas special. And it was absolute bollocks. Right? And then I think there was the other one... And I think people just start these rumours as jokes anyway, but then the Sun trawls through them, or any tabloid will trawl through them and think, we'll run that as a story. Now, whether there's any truth in it or not, they just do, just to, as you say, just to grab some headlines, just headline grabbing. There's another one, Adam was Davros.
Yes, that was a good one.
It's absolute... As I said, bollocks. It really is just bollocks.
But the casual fan who posts on Facebook, really enjoyed tonight's episode, Cybermen looked really cool, Warwick Davis was really good. That's not noteworthy, is it? You know, it's not where no one's going to take that on and go, ooh, I've got to write about that. That's just someone enjoying it. And people in the sensationalism sort of game are not interested in someone just enjoying the episode.
Yeah, that's it. They want all the hatred and bile, because that's what sells papers in the day, isn't it?
Mundus podcast.